Blog Talk Radio.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman. And it doesn't pertain to all black women. Some of y'all disrespect yourself because you don't know who you are in the first place. This is out of common respect for all women, period. Well, like this song. Yo, I'm quite single and occasionally I mingle. But aside from all the rest, she sparks my interest. No ma'am, I don't know you. Just offering the common respect I feel I owe you. Also, some conversation, companionship, common ground and common sense. There's no such thing as coincidence in me finding you here. And I really hate screaming in your ear. So some other time, okay? I waited today. Hello, this is Carlito from a couple of days ago. You sound tired. Forgive me if I've called you too late. But what better time to relate my state? Where could I begin? Has anyone ever told you got beautiful skin? You're more than welcome. What do you desire within? I just want to be. There's no need to put titles on you and me. Those are limitations. Living and learning are our only obligations. Equality, honesty, independence, intelligence, emotion and devotion. Humbly seeking to hear God when he's speaking. At one time, my mind just couldn't conceive. A woman had to dress a certain way to believe. But in the same breath, allow me to say that if you believe, young lady, you wouldn't dress that way. And I was attracted to your class. I couldn't see all your ass, and I was very content. You deserved every compliment. Now, remember how indifferences make us the same. You gotta have the game, or you ain't even gonna be able to take care of yourself. And love, when I look at you, I see my reflection. So I offer my love, affection, and protection. Shout it. You did fine, but the bottom line is, you still my sister.
Welcome to Sister Awareness. This is Elena, and I hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday evening. I'm sorry that there was a delay. However, when I tried to log in, for some odd reason, the system would not allow me to log in. I'm like, man, I got people waiting on me, and I kept trying, so I believe those folks are on to me, y'all. I'm going to go down the line. I see I have three callers. And I'm going to bring everybody in. And when I refer to the last four digits of your phone number, please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from. Caller with the last four digits, 1478, will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Hi, this is Siri Lilly, and I'm from Houston, Texas.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us, Sister Siri Lilly. Last four digits, 6040. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
My name is Daniel Gutridge, human rights policy officer, calling from Claymont, Delaware.
Wonderful. Hi, brother.
How you doing, Sister Elena?
I'm doing well. Will you please state your name and the city and state you're calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 3675.
Salute, Sister Elaine, and everybody else on the phone. It's Brother Darren from the DMV.
Wonderful. Greetings, Brother Darren. Thank you for calling in. We're not going to stay on the call because I'm preparing for Brother Ramzu tonight. However, I do want to give us about 30 or 40 minutes just to get some things kind of where I'm going to be discussing. I want us to focus on the property rights. And one thing I wanted to share was Article 23 of the American Convention, which states everyone has the right to use and in the enjoyment of his property. The law may subordinate such use and enjoyment in the interest of society. Number two, No one shall be deprived of his or her property except upon payment of just compensation for reasons of public utility or social interest, and in the cases and according to the forms established by law. This is number three, is very important. Usury and any other forms of exploitation of man by man shall be prohibited by law. It's high time we unify and establish our collective property rights. And that's what Brother Ramzu has been focusing on for the past, I think it's been since 2016, right, Brother Daniel?
Yes, ma'am. 2016, July 4th, 2016. Actually, 2015, but I began with them at 2016 in Highland Park, Michigan. Yes, at least 2015.
Yes, yes. Well, Brother Daniel, I'm just so happy that you all started that movement and started this movement. I just want you to know I'm really, really honored to be among you and Brother Ramzu, to see the work that you all are doing and to see our human rights in action. You all started enforcing our human rights before it was, you know, before it was even notable that or even established that we had such rights. I really appreciate what you all are doing, and I'm pulling together some information that I could share and disseminate, you know, to the audience tonight on Brother Ramzu's show. And one thing I like to do is to show that this is lawful. Everything that you all are doing is lawful. It is our human right to establish our property rights. We are supposed to have been in control of our communities, our tax base. We've really gotten a raw deal, Brother Daniel. And I'm going to yield the floor to you to elaborate on actually how bad and what really moved you all to move on Detroit and about the property up there and some of the things that you all are doing. But don't yield too much, because we got, you know, you do know we got Brother Ramzu's show tonight.
Yes. Well, what got me dedicated? Now, I got involved because it sounds like something good to be involved with. But as we, on July 4th, 2016, and I got to give credit to Brother Otis. I ain't going to say his last name, but he's the one who invited me to come up there. He's from Chicago. And he invited me, said, "Hey, Brother Dan," we were friends on Facebook. So he said, "Brother Dan, we got something going on up in Highland Park, Michigan on July 4th. And this was like in March or April. And he said, "It's something you might be interested in, because you sound like a strong brother who's about the people." I said, "Okay, July 4th. He said, "It'd be Highland Park, Michigan." He said, "And I'll introduce you to Brother Ramzu Yunus." You know, and I've been seeing things on the media, on the social, about Brother Ramzu, you know, just here and there, nothing that really drawed my attention. But once Brother Otis, you know, gave me that invite, and I said, "Sure, I'll be there." So on July 3rd, actually, I showed up. And that morning, we had people lining up all around the blocks. I mean, just thousands of people. And I said, "Wow, this is great." And Brother Ramzu was standing on the City Hall steps. Now, mind you, this is the 4th of July. It is a holiday weekend, a holiday, no city work being done, nothing like that. We're not interfering with city duties, you know, city, whatever their schedules were for that day. And the people started signing up, you know, to withdraw consent. We had a job fair going on. And even back then, we were doing a little voter registration. And this is just the way it was back then, because you grow. As you proceed into your movement, you tend to grow as you learn more, get more and more information.
As we
were standing there getting the people signed up, and they were starting to withdraw their consent by the thousands, next thing we know, we look around, and there's like 50, 60 cops standing around us. Mind you, black officers and city officials and stuff like that. Even the mayor came out. Now, mind you, we were very respectful. We were organized. We were quiet. We were in line. Everyone's waiting their turn. No conflict whatsoever. And then we had a few, I guess we call them agents, come up to try to steer the cops up. And I had to tell them, look, the police are standing over there. They're not bothering us. Stay over here. Don't go bothering them. And finally, it got to the point where the mayor wanted the police to break it up, but the police wouldn't move. This is Detroit City Police, Highland Park City Police, or the Detroit police that had come down. The black officers would not interfere. They would not. They said they're not breaking the laws, and that made me feel good. So they ended up getting the state, I guess the SWAT officers, to come in to break it up. And once I seen them do that, and all we were doing was trying to invoke our right to self-determination, and it's what's called direct democracy. That means the will of the people shall be, the order of the day, so to speak. Well, once they brought SWAT in and literally attacked and arrested some of our people, including Brother Ramzu, and tried to make a statement that he fled, he tried to run and this and that, which a video shows that, no, we did not run. We stood our ground. That dedicated me, that determined to me that I'm going to be here. We're going to do this. So we've been, from that day forth, I've been involved. I've been steadfast involved, and I'm determined to see this through to the end. And it's about self-determination. It's about taking our property rights back. It's about what we are due. That is, these are our cities. These are where we are the majority population. And being that this is a majority rule democracy, as they state in their own constitution and their own Bill of Rights, this is what we're going to do. And I'm dedicated, and I will never stop. Thank you.
Ashe. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Thank you, Brother Daniel. And my sentiments, exactly. And I just want to stress on what kind of property rights. We got the right to property in terms of real property, such as your houses and things of that nature that's involved in the cities. You also have cultural property as well. And a lot of these cities, they are historical. So we have historical rights. In some of these towns that were all black towns, and in some of these areas, such as Chicago and Detroit, that was all black, areas and has a historical identity to it, their funds and their resources domestically and internationally that will allow us to help develop those areas that can become very prosperous in tourism and very prosperous in cultural sites. However, we got to lay a claim on those areas in Detroit, in Chicago, in Atlanta, in Oklahoma. We have wealth. We just never, laid claim to it in the way that we were supposed to. So now we're in a movement where we're moving and we're transitioning from the civil rights paradigm to the human rights paradigm, where we're going into for control, where we're going in for self-determination, self-governance, self-policing. We're taking back our power that was taken away from us in 1865. We've been in a legal and in a political limbo since 1865. It's never been rectified, and what we're doing now is we're rectifying those issues, the issues of property rights, the issues of our political sovereignty, and yes, we do have a degree of sovereignty. It's been displaced. Whether we were enslaved, some of our ancestors were enslaved on the continent. Some of them were already here and enslaved right here. Regardless, they had political rights. Even according to the international laws and the just laws of war time, there were rights that have been circumvented when it comes to our population. So we are rectifying those issues. Brother Daniel and everyone else, we do have about three other callers on the line, and I'm going to go down and invite them in one moment. And callers, when I say your name, when I call your last four digits of your number, will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 9444, will you please state your name and the last four digits of, speak your name and the last. God, will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 9444. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from? I guess you want to remain quiet, so I'll move on to the next caller.
excuse me, sister, he tried to say it. He sounded like his volume's down or he's on speaker.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 9444. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Okay. I guess
okay.
That's reason.
Caller with the last four digits, 1337. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Yes, Mandelicon, all power to the people, no power to the sheeple.
Wonderful.
I just got this communication that this man across my desk, and I decided just to pop in and see
wonderful.
Where everything is.
Wonderful,
and,
wonderful.
Yes. These are exciting, dangerous times in which we live. However, we are, of course, for something spectacular, one way or the other, whether it be good or bad. I'm where I sit, doing the total recall of Ethiopian matriarch, everything is on time. We're in the right place at the right time in the right season for the right reason. So the bottom line is figures don't lie and lies don't figure. It's a mathematical equation. We need a cumulative of superior numbers based on a lot of this that we see going down at the moment, you know. And I'll be doing something else later on tonight, which I was entitled, on the Plants of Queens program, which I was entitled, Four Dead on Capitol Hill as Certain People Stormed the Bastille. There's a certain amount of lessons that could be taken on what's been happening for the last year, as the whole world has been hijacked by this thing called social distancing. In other words, stay the fuck away from each other. Don't you dare try to organize. Don't you dare try to overturn a rotten, filthy social system. So I'll be getting more into that as we go forward. But what I really need everyone to really understand, you got one people and 1,000 gangs or 1,000 tribes. And I remember the old folks used to tell us that together we stand, divided we fall. Now, fast forward to now. Divided we stand, together we all fall. There has to be a symbol, a sign, a rally point to bring those 1,000 gangs and tribes under one mighty banner to overturn the hardship crisis, the state of emergency, that we find ourselves in. So we're closer to where we have to go than we are from whence we came. And I'm not right. No one group or gang or clique is right until we physically apply the birthrights that we were born with, born free. From the birth on to our death, we're born free. So until we physically apply the spiritual, political, social, economical uniformity that common law, international law, and natural law dictates to us, we don't have no rights, but we've got a duty.
That's
and
right.
Now we have duty time.
That's
duty
right.
Duty time
That's
means
right.
all hands on deck.
That's
and
right.
We are not biased and prejudiced against each other. We have to close our eyes and become like Helen Keller, Jose Feliciano, Ray Charles, and Stevie Wonder and say, not each one teach one, because we know enough now. Each one grab on and say, come on, where we going? We're going to march on the Capitol. And we got the arrest warrant, a class action 567 to arrest these no-good bastards. And if we don't do this, then somebody may have another remedy. But if we don't get out of our seat on our feet into the street for freedom, justice, total independence in this, what we call a spring offensive, because we're going to get a whole bunch of new information as we go forth from here, that we're going to have to do something we've never done before. So in other words, we're going to have a change of heart and choose a new way of life. So everybody get ready, because this is going to be the ride that everyone has talked about. Well, we knew that a change is going to come, but it's not going to come without you. So we can say that we're Babylon's falling. Babylon will not fall until we destroy it, and it has to be destroyed. So if we don't get that, then we're just going to get another lesson, and we love the punishment that we're getting. So much love, much respect to each and every one of you.
All right. Thank you, Elder, for that. Really, thank you. Thank you for those words of inspiration. And, yes, we are in trying times. However, we have people that's been in the fight, like Brother Ramzu and Brother Daniels. You know, we have been fighting. We've been, to be honest, Elder, we've been in a fight since 8th. Well, it's been over 500 years. However, when they said the war was over and they was, you know, they was going to stop warring against us, it never stopped. They continued to mistreat us, and we continue to be warred against, and our children are being continue to be murdered. They're still pushing us off property. Every 30 years, there's a pattern with this, Elder. Every 30 years, they're coming up with this gentrification plan, and if you don't move out, there's situations like up in Kentucky where they'll send in kill squads to get you out. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. I do have one more caller. I do believe that I'm going to try to bring in, I think it's maybe two more callers. When I call the last four digits of your number, please state the city, state, and your name. Caller
first name
with the last four digits, 6209. Will you please state your name and the city and state you're calling from? Last four digits, 6209. Okay, I'll move on. Caller with the last four digits, 2800. Please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from.
Yes, good evening. This is Malakia Williams. I'm calling from Landover, Maryland. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling, my sister. How are things going on up there in Maryland?
Everything's going pretty good. It's a beautiful day out, just catching some sun. I'm just dialing in. Sorry for being a little late.
That's okay. That's okay. You got here. We're not going to stay on long because Brother Ramsey is going to have a big meeting tonight and doing a big Zoom call about strategy. And we're going to be supporting him tonight. And I believe it starts at 7 o'clock. And before we end the call, I'm going to have Brother Daniel give that information out and where to direct everyone on Facebook to get the call-in number for tonight so we can support Brother Ramsey and the people of Detroit. Sister Lily, Siri, where you at, sister?
Peace, my sister Elena. This is Lily, Siri Lily on YouTube. And I wanted to listen to this call specifically tonight. I hadn't been able to make it on this call for a few weeks. I'm so happy, Sister Elena, that you're doing this for the people, getting people familiar with what international law can do and mean for them. And I love this topic tonight. In that we can learn what our power is as a nation. What does that do for us? A lot of people don't realize. They think it's, oh, it's a piece of paper and you sign it, because they're so accustomed to signing or letting the United States tell us that this is the new law, but then that law gets walked over and we see no results, no reciprocity, even as much as affirmative action. They said, oh, this is for you, but it's not. It's for everyone except us, actually. They give us a harder time trying to get any of the benefits from affirmative action than they do immigrants or people who come to this country. You can get a loan. You can get a grant. You can get all kinds of assistance if you are not a black American. I don't care who you are. You could be Latino. You could be Jewish. You could be Caucasian. You could be any other ethnicity in the United States of America, and you're going to get all the assistance you want. But if you are an African-American, quote-unquote, an Afro-descendant, a black person who was born in this country generationally, you can get discriminated against. Your interest rates on loans are higher, or they're turned down.
Now, so
we have nothing. And I want to talk about how I want you to expound a little bit, support on Sister Lana, how this joining of together of people, the unifying of nation, empowers us.
Let me tell you, sister. Now listen. You just struck a nerve right now, because I'm finna walk it down to you, baby. Right now, see, everybody thinks that we're going to get reparations based on what they did historically. Yes, it's going to come from that. But let me walk it down to you where our reparations is going to come from. Right now, the United States is practicing apartheid for this particular fact right here. We were supposed to have been treated like the Native Americans. As a matter of fact, we were treated as a special population like the Native Americans. And I tell you when General Sherman gave that land to our ancestors, there was a lot of concessions made during the Civil War that was rescinded by the federal government. They took their protection.
Say that again. You said rescinded?
It was rescinded by the federal government. There was protections put in place for us. Our ancestors was given land, and we're going to do a show where I can properly prepare for it and give people reference of things where they can look up for themselves. But after 1865, General Sherman asked our ancestors, "So what is it that you wanted to do?" Everybody stated that they want, except for one preacher, who stated they wanted their own territory. They wanted to set up in their own government. They wanted to self-govern themselves. They felt like, due to the fact how we had already been treated, they wanted to be left alone to grow. And they did that. General Sherman gave land to Afro descendants, to Africans at that time, gave it to our ancestors. They put in certain concessions. The Civil Rights era did not start in 1965. The first Civil Rights era started in the 1800s. Study that era.
Right.
Study the concessions that was given to us. Then there was a compromise between the North and the South, the industrialists, and the agriculturalists in the South, where they wanted to put their sovereignty back together at our expense. So they re-enslaved us again and came up with those damn penal colonies and made the 13th Amendment that was supposed to free us. They put that except if you were charged with a crime, and except you were a criminal. Then they used that other side of that 13th Amendment to re-enslave us and come up with those penal colonies and the penal system where they worked our ancestors to death, putting down railroad tracks and doing all kind of mining. Let me tell you, it's a book called Slavery by Another Name. An author of that book, he has like lectures online on YouTube that you can listen to if you're not a big avid reader. You're not one that likes to take out a lot of time, and you don't have time to read. Google Slavery by Another Name and click on video, and that person, that author has he has a nice lecture out that explains to you actually what happened. So the ball rolls on and on. You had the second civil rights era to come along. We were penciled in as a minority, as an immigrant, like we swam beside the Mayflower to get here, when that is not true. Most of us, the majority of our ancestors were already right here, okay? That has a legal, economic, and a political connotation, specifically when you apply it to your property rights. Ball rolls on and on. Because they have us in that minority status, minority is a status, okay? That makes us, it makes all of our property rights, all of our property, all of our resources, all of our wealth, all of our human capital is absorbed by the government and is misappropriated to other groups who are not immigrants.
In that fact alone,
we are an internal colony where all of our resources have been taken. We had an economy after slavery because our ancestors went forth and built towns in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Rosewood. They established towns. They were thriving. As a matter of fact, when you read barley, gold, all of these areas. Okay, so what happened was because of the fact they took our status away from us as indigenous.
And our land, they took it by force.
Everything that they took. Because of the fact they had us penciled in at the lowest rung of society as an immigrant, We lost our rights as indigenous people. And as indigenous people, we had a right to self-govern. We had a right to our own institutions, such as our own schools, control our own judicial system, control our own healthcare system. But because we're penciled in as a minority, every other group, our resources, our wealth, human capital, our property is misappropriated. And every other group benefits when we don't. This is documented. I love Dr. Claude Anderson. He has the right strategy. But when he leaves out that international and human rights law part, it's a disservice because we're losing our property rights. He tells us what to do with it, but he don't tell us how to acquiesce to go in and take it back. And those are some of the things that we're going to have to start addressing with our elders, but they're leaving out that part about international human rights law. There is no law on the books in domestic law that will allow us to insert our indigenous rights. Every time the Moors go in and try to assert their rights, what do? They lock them up. Even these black Indians, when they try to assert their rights using domestic law, what do? They don't get remedy. The United States is exercising an illegal plenary power over the Native Americans, the Hawaiians, the Alaskan Natives, and the Puerto Ricans, and us too. And the only way out of it is using international and human rights law. Now, where do we assert those rights? You assert those rights in the Inter-American Court because it's a regional court and it supersedes the United States Court. Why? Because the United States has to apply to international customs just like every other country in the world. And when they don't, there are consequences. We have never asserted our human rights as a people. They have us in their constitution as a minority. As a minority, we are guests. But as a people, we established prima facie that we were already here at the time when the settler government erected its state. And that is the basis of the argument for the property rights, for the rights to self-determination, for the right to self-government, and for the assert our cultural rights to our cultural property and our biological property. Is there anyone else who would like to respond to what I just said? Sister Lily, would you like to respond?
No, I'm just on fire. I'm buzzing over here. Thank you. Thank you so much, sister. I want to hear what any – the only thing I want to say is people have to understand how important it is to form this nation. And it's not me and Sister Elena or Brother Ramsey. We ain't the nation.
That's the nation. That's
the
right.
The people.
That's right. That's right. It is the people who is the nation. And I'm going to tell you something else, Sister Lillian. Like I said, we're not going to stay on too long. We're going to try to stay on to about 4 o'clock because we need to be fresh when we go on to support Brother Ramsey. Sister Lillian is right. Black people need to know there is an alternative to the domestic politics, the right, the left, the Republican, or the Democrat. What we should walk away from this fiasco that Donald Trump just called is regardless of who is in the White House, our political objectives, it should be our generations are going to survive. We're going to survive as a people no matter who's sitting in that White House. That means we need to control where we are, our community. We need to control our politics. We need to control our land base. We need to control our policing. We need to control our healthcare system, our own judicial system, our own, all of these things that we can do if we assert our international and human rights. Now, that's not to say that you're giving up your citizenship. No, because the way that we have structured our nations, and I say nations because we have many nations. We have the Republic of New Africa. We have the African descendant nation. We have the African Descendant Confederation. We have another nation state that's getting ready to be created who wants to practice external sovereignty, okay? So what we're doing, We're not reinventing the wheel. We're doing what any other colonized people has done all over the planet. We are the Johnny-come-latelys when it comes to asserting our human rights, because we've been trained like lap dogs that what's in that White House is right. Who the public leadership, they can get out here and tell us, oh, go vote for Biden. Oh, go vote for Democrats. No matter who's in that White House, hasn't been a year past. It hasn't been a black person been murdered and gunned down in the street. It has not been a year past, regardless of who in that, who's in the White House. We're being gentrified out of our property, gentrified out of our tax base, excluded, selectively annexed. Okay, they'll have our tax base. We may generate X amount of tax dollars, but they'll take those tax dollars and go uptown and make the white areas look good, make the Jewish areas look good. Everybody looking good, but we over here begging for bread on this side, but you got our tax dollars. That comes from not being able to control your things. That comes from that political status that you are in. So when you're signing, someone's asking you to assert your rights by signing a declaration. You're not giving anything up. You're laying that extra layer of protection like the Native Americans had on top of what you got, what you were supposed to have.
Y'all see why I cheer her on? You y'all see why I cheer her on?
So that's what's going on. That's what's going on. That's what happened to us. So we're going to have to band together. When you see initiatives like what Brother Ramsey is doing, we got to get involved. We got to get up there where those numbers are so we can do what we have to do, because the world is watching. We have to withdraw our consent because it looks like we're okay. This, let me tell you
what you see
when you go to other countries in the media. I saw this firsthand. They think we are okay because we have not withdrew our consent from this parasitical relationship. It's the relationship. Don't keep falling for the honey trap. Oh, it's racism. They hate. Once they start liking you and stop hating you because you're black, things are going to change. No, that's not the issue. The issue is the power relationship, the parasitical relationship you got to suffer. And the racism, that's just the cherry on top. The United States apartheid, and we can prove it. They're practicing apartheid hidden and colorblind policy, colorblind language, and colorblind puppet leadership, who knows what's going on and who close their mouth because they get the scraps off master's plate. So it's their job to make you think that you're okay when you're being royally screwed with no Vaseline every single damn day because they're taking your tax dollars and misappropriating it.
And she's talking about black people, y'all. She ain't talking about white people right now. She's
talking
about
white. I'm not talking about white folks. I'm talking about Negroes. Them Negroes in high places, the ones that tell you, oh, if you don't vote, you don't count. Last time I checked, we ain't counted nowhere because our numbers have not changed. The numbers that are being murdered in the streets are not changing. The numbers of that the communities that are being gentrified are not changing. That water have not been cleared up in Flint, and reparations have not been paid to those victims of the water crisis up in Flint, Michigan. People are still being thrown out on the streets. When I was in Chicago I believe it's 2 weeks ago, they have blocks and blocks and blocks of boarded up property that hadn't been touched since the riots of the 1960s.
Youngstown, Ohio says the same thing. It's the same thing
same
that she's talking about is happening in Youngstown, Ohio, and many places all over the place. And that don't stop the fact that they're bashing black women's faces in the ground, killing our babies. And we are telling the world we're okay with that.
We're okay with that. When we don't move and we lose opportunities to unify and to get behind initiatives like what Brother Ramsey is doing, we are telling the world, okay, it's okay. And Brother Remsel is right. We have these groups. We have different groups who want to assert rights and who want to get involved. This is what we need to get involved in. This is where we need the boots on the ground to secure our property rights. You're not going in gung-ho taking anything. You are supporting people who are asserting their human rights. If we don't get control of our land and our spaces and don't learn how to control our human capital, our labor, and our wealth, we are feeding this generation to the wolves. We're setting them up for a mass genocide. We are leaving this generation with nothing. We can't talk about our youth because we have not done anything for them. We are leaving them and feeding these children to the wolves. Anybody under 35 will be left to the wolves if we don't make a stand right now. Not next week.
We're also telling the world we don't need to be defended.
That's
we're
right.
Also telling the world we don't need a militia. We don't need gun. We are talking about this brother who, on his own, stood up. And we are really, black people have turned against him or forgotten about him. You feel safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But see, here's the thing, sister. When we don't know, and I'm not giving these people that's disrespecting this brother a pass that you're referring to of in fact. I'm not giving them a pass, but you're dealing with an ignorant population. They've been told, oh, you vote, you're okay. If you vote, you count. Bullshit. We've been voting since we had voting rights in the 1800s. Nothing has changed. Matter of fact, it's gotten a hell of a lot worse because the land rights, the land, the acreage and land that we had, we've lost, okay? So when we see brothers like this who stand up, we tend to leave them out to the pasture. When we have brothers like Brother Ramsey, the tips of the spears, that's what me and Sister Lily name these brothers that stand up. When we get these four heads, the four corners, and the four winds, and the tips of the spear, and they stand up, it's always people like us who take them down internally. Why is that? Because they're ignorant of their rights. They don't know they have rights.
Khalid Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
Fred Hampton, every
mm-hmm.
one of them. The ones who live and you get to listen to,
mm-hmm.
they're not on our side. If they're trying to kill the people or ridicule them or take them down, that's who you need to be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now is the time for us to unify. I mean, organizations, I'm reaching out because right now, and Sister Lily, you know I've shared with you and I share everything. You know you my right-hand sister. We're in an official national liberation status. It's official. I've put the United Nations on notice. I've sent out the accessions. Okay? We are in a national liberation status. I'm putting eyes
on the
United States.
That paperwork that everyone is asking Grandmaster Jay to produce, I have it. She sent it to me. She sent it to a few people. But those people who have it are considered a threat. Just know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everybody
exactly.
will never have access to it because it's not all about just one tip of the spear. We got several tips of the spear on this. On this initiative, we have several tips of the spear. So
most of them are moving in silence. All of
that's
them,
right.
Brother Jeff.
So we're not going to release any paperwork. The only way you would get any paperwork from this national liberation movement is if you have been vetted and you are a part of it and you have shown yourself to be a part of it and that you understand we're not moving under an integrationist policy. That's out. We ain't doing integration no more. We're going in for control. That's not saying we don't want white people in our areas and we don't want to do business with them. No, we're not saying that. We want you to come to our areas. For example, like out there in me and Sister Candida, we talk about Oklahoma all the time, what we see. We see agribusiness. We see growing hemp so we can make building products, make healthcare products. We have looking at agribusiness that could be exported even internationally. We have maybe even more oil out there, natural resources out there on those areas where we were historically.
I want to say something. You heard you say you're in Oklahoma, and I don't know who all is on this call, but I can tell you that not everybody from on this call is from the South, and I'm in Texas, and I had a conversation with a white man, a 80-year-old white man, and if you're on this call and you hide incognito like the Alphabet Gang tends to do, I'll tell you this. I met Dennis the Menace. And anybody who knows anything about the Patriots of Texas knows who Dennis the Menace is. He done got old and he talks too much now. So I can tell you this. They're feeling very secure, or they were feeling very secure, because we had no militia. They knew that if at any moment they could come in here and do whatever they wanted to this community right here in Houston, Texas, to the black community. Because there's no one who was going. I had a brother in Houston said he was going ran the Proud Boys out of Houston. I guarantee you he didn't run the Patriots out of Houston. I'm just going to say this. I'm really tired of because we've been, she's right, we've been doing this a while. I'm the baby in this thing. But they've been doing this thing for a long time. And I can tell you that this fight has never been over.
No.
I can also tell you that there are many people who are not going to just, as I have said before, lay down and die. And give it the fourth.
Yeah. And sister, we are hoping that this transition, and this is what I'm looking at. Yes, we have our tips of the spear, and we know that we need security, but we also have to look at the legal and the political side, especially the political side, because we got to transition from this predatory relationship. And it's a certain way we're going to have to pull out. Yeah, we need to put all the security in place, but we also need to transition our security personnel to looking at the future of how this thing is going to look. We are going to look like an internal insular nation. There is an example already on the United States soil. I want everybody to, when you get an opportunity, Google the Lummi tribe, L-U-M-M-I, Lummi tribe. They are a tribe in, I believe it's in Washington. They're up in Washington. They have a compact with the United States. They are considered an insular nation right here internally, right here on the United States soil, okay? Also, outside of the United States, another model that we looked at is from Micronesia. They have a compact with the United States. They are a territory of the United States, okay? So you have an inland example, and you have an exterior example. But the political mode and the political method, because we are a people, and a people is a legal political unit under international law. That's why we have these shows every Sunday, not just so you can hear me jaw-jack and talk junk about get whitey politics. No, I use this platform to teach people about their human rights. The problem came within the side of the Constitution when they pencil us in as a minority when we are a people. Okay? We are a people that has a legal, political, and economic connotation that guarantees us the right to self-determination, the right to self-govern and the right to self-police, immediate reparations, not no 40-year study. We ain't going in for that. We ain't having that no more. This is what that leads to. So I appreciate everyone for joining us, and I hope you take this information in consideration. When you get off the call, Google the Lummi Tribe. That's a blueprint of how we'll look. That's a blueprint of how our policing may look. Now, because we are a larger population, it's not going to look exactly like that, but it's a start to start thinking about, okay, how we're going to control our areas, how we're going to control our public school system, what kind of curriculum we're going to be teaching. This ain't going to look. Okay, we're going to be using the international standards of policing. Why? Because we're a special population. We're colonized people. So we can't have that heavy-handed policing used on our population. We're going to have another special type of policing that's used for people that's been traumatized. We are a traumatized population, sort of like something that they use in Rwanda after that genocide, some of the techniques that they use. Also, our healthcare system is not going to look like the European healthcare system because we got to incorporate restorative measures. Our policing is going to have to incorporate restorative justice techniques for our people. Policing is not all about using retributive force or retribution or using that retribution philosophy. Policing stems from preventing crimes. Our crimes are derived from economic deficiencies, marginalization, and exclusion. So that means in these bad neighborhoods, that means we need to come in and, you know, we may see a house that needs to be boarded up. We may have, with our policing, tied to, you know, or a house that's, you know, condemned and the family may be having a issue or may need a little help. We may have a fund instead of condemning that home, allowing a low-cost grant to that family and having the city come in and make the repairs and maybe set up a little account where they pay us a little bit over the years instead of taking their property. So there are so many things that we can do with self-policing where the police can come out of that uniform and become maybe a person that can come in and really revitalize that community and have that communication with the mayor about a community that's dilapidated or a community that may need X amount of dollars, more investments in it, or another economic base. This is the type of policing that I foresee, the type of governance that I see, the leadership. We can't have these people just put out in front of us who are not well studied, who don't know the struggle, who just got an academic background. We need people like Brother Ramsey and Brother Daniel, who are boots on the ground, who are talking to these people every day, telling them what they need. We need housing. We want to get off the street. We want to get out of these homeless shelters. Those are the type of leadership that we need to have in front of us. Not these puppet Negroes who got this amount of following. Not these puppet Negroes who sitting around here in this kitty rolling over with this and they've got four or five fed charges and all of a sudden they popping up, you know, on the scene trying to lay around and roll up against you. No, 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 no. That bullshit ain't going to work. Am I right or wrong, Sister Lily?
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I'm over here cracking up. I just had to put it on mute because I'm over here just laughing and cheering. You are, I mean, I can't say it. Every word.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, let us start thinking. Let us start dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. Think about how you want the type of environment you want your children to grow up in, your grandchildren. Think, that's what I'm thinking about. My grandbabies motivate me to continue on with this work because I'm not going to lie to you. Our ancestors failed us because they settled for integration and there was something else available, even at that time. Our elders failed us. Whether they knew or not, whether we're going to give them a pass on them for not knowing, but they failed us. We got to say they failed us.
There are some who did. That's right. And the ones who failed, the ones who knew, they're in high political places right now in
That's
this
right.
country.
That's
you
right.
What you need to think, how you need to act in religious and all types of other. They're not just in religious. You got them on YouTube, and you've got actors and things. That I mean, this these three cats from Bone Thugs and Harmony. The one died. The one of them boys in that group, they just done took over that child poor mind. I don't even understand how you could be Nick Cannon. I just look at what our men have become.
That's right.
Cat
That's right.
Weak.
That's right.
And
but
then
the
they get angry at us.
That's right.
See, everything she's saying is right. We can correct the horrors that have been done to us. Brother Amos Wilson has a blueprint. We can correct this. It can be fixed.
That's
but
right.
You have
That's
to
right.
want it. You
That's
have
right.
to want it.
That's
I
right.
I can want it all day long by myself, but I'm not the people. And if,
That's
if
right.
I listen, if we're wrong and everybody just need, we need to shut up and let, and all the black people in the world just want to continue to be slaughtered and hunted down for sport.
And be permanent bootlickers, permanent ass kissers and bootlickers. Let me tell you what the rest of the world think
they
about us.
They're trying to see who can get the most money for killing the most of us.
That's let me
That's
tell you what
do.
The world. But Sister Lily, let me tell you what the world think about us. Let me tell you, when we're going, me and Sister Cecile going to these different international venues, it's almost like they're laughing in our face because they don't see that we want to be free. They think that we're these spoiled group of criminals. That's what the world look at us because they put out these rappers and give them a platform. Let's take a look at some of the issues. Some of these people that represent us, because they represent us, they're harming us. We can't let everybody represent our interests. The people got to show and speak, not this puppet leadership. When the world sees us, all they think of booty shaking, shuffling and jiving Negroes, mess talking Negroes, Negroes stuck in their feelings, Negroes who don't know what they want to do. And that identity has been projected purposely.
Sis, you're right. You're so right. Let me tell you what I came across. I don't know where, I can't remember exactly where it is, but I will find it and I will share it on my social media. I promise you this. There was a gentleman who was doing a documentary who went to China. He met with a very famous young Chinese playwright. Everyone in China knew this kid, whoever he is. I don't know the names at this point, but I will tell you this. The child was so enamored with American black American memorabilia. He loved the show Good Times and stuff like that. He could. This was a young 24-year-old kid, okay? Most of our 24 years never heard of Good Times. This child told this older gentleman, said, you know, I can't understand. He says, I just love you people, but please tell me that the guy who played JJ and the people on, please tell me they were in blackface. That wasn't real. Y'all don't really allow white America to treat you that way, do you? And the guy looking for the information to do the documentary said, no, he's a real actor. I actually know him. And at that point, he said, all respect for him. The little 24-year-old, let me just go back. They sent him through a lot of loops to even meet this young Chinese kid. He finally got to meet him. At that point, it was a turning point. There was no more respect for the man. He didn't want to talk to him anymore. Because he saw that was really black people getting paid to act like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We lost all respect.
That's right. No
world
respect.
Because this is what has been portrayed. You got to know who was writing that stuff.
That's
this is
right.
Why James Evans and Florida Evans had that big fight and got fired off of Good Times.
That's right.
Because they
That's
were
right.
against what that Jewish man was trying to make them. You see, we need to stand up
That's
and
right.
The problem that I'm seeing, the reason I keep harping on this is because I have a huge social media following, and I have a chance to see what my people are thinking and saying.
That's
and
right.
Some
That's
of
right.
you are so many, not some, so many of my people, of our people, are caught in this web that I can't see any. I see utter genocide occurring with Black America if they don't stand up.
Well, Sister Lily, you're right. You're right. You're right. But you know what? We're going to do our part. And the way we're going to do our part is we're going to get behind these tips of the spirit that's moving. See, the Most High done sent us the messengers, not the ones that who claim they the messengers having these big million-man marches and never do a damn thing. I'm talking about the real tips of the spear. We got them. We just got to mobilize and support them. We have them. We have them in all four corners of the globe. Little do we know. But we got to support them. The people got to say no. The people got to know the truth. Now, one reason why our tips of the spear are attacked, because our people are ignorant of politics. They're ignorant of their human rights. So they co-sign just to be comfortable in their captivity on policies and legislation that is detrimental on the faith to their well-being. And it's our responsibility as the ones who know and the mouthpieces who know how to navigate the social media, who are technically savvy like yourself. It is our responsibility to get the word out to the people that there is another way, that we don't have to really stay stuck on voting for the right, the left, the Republican, or the Democrat, regardless of who's in that White House. We're going to assert our property rights. Regardless of who's in that White House, our people are going to stop being home. Okay? So this is where we're going. Brother Daniel, will you please share the information with Brother Ramsey's call tonight? I'm going to close out the show so I can get some things done because I won't be rested and alert when I'm on tonight.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I sure will. And also, what something else I wanted to say prior to giving out that information, when you had mentioned about the Detroit and the homes, that it's thousands of empty homes all over the place in all cities. And now this was a concerted effort to deindustrialize these areas so that, like Sister Elena said, poverty is the mother of crime. That is the creator of crime. Now, after Dr. King's assassination, they realized that it was the family, the Black family, who was supporting all the activists and who was supporting Dr. King and the movement, just like was supporting Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey. It's the Black family unit. They realized that if they could destroy the Black family, that then they could destroy the movement. And then next thing you have, they start talking about if your child, you know, later on, if you try to discipline your child, the child, remember, the child can dial 911. See, that was to turn the child against the parent. And then the prison system, now all this is verifiable information. The prison system became private. It becomes a prison industrial complex. Now, so the same people that your children or your friends or your family have to stand in court against because of the poverty that was created for them to survive and to create this negative image of our people are the same people who's on the board of directors, who's receiving stocks and dividends and annuities from these prison systems. Now, I'm not ashamed to admit, I've been to prison. You know, and I realize those folks that are in prison, you don't have many. Well, put it this way. Most of the folks that is in prison are people with talent. They're people with knowledge. They're people with ideas. You can learn a lot from a prisoner. Now, that might sound crazy, but they're very intelligent, articulate, creative folks in prison. They're not locking. They're not arresting the people who.
Brother, I just met that got out of prison and opened his own business, and doing quite well. He just got out.
Yes, yes, and see, and that's the thing that we have to realize. They're not incarcerating or encapsulating your everyday citizen or everyday person. Just like they didn't lynch and murder and kill just the average person. They were back in the 60s and 50s and in 1923 and 22 when they killed Black Wall Street. Those were business owners. They're always attacking the business owners because that's the way they destroy the business economy. If they just willy-nilly lynch anyone, yeah, it wouldn't have an effect. They had to destroy the businesses. But now back to the original, what we were supposed to be doing or will be doing is giving the information for tonight's summit. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. Eastern. You can dial in on our 701-791-9664. Or you can dial in on our 425-436-6377 with a PIN. Now, it also has a PIN that's 201-869. And that's for the 425. Also, you can go to Ramzu Eunice Facebook Live. Ramzu Eunice, RamzuYunus on his Facebook Live. And we ask, it's imperative that you bring all your family members, all your friends, get everyone involved. We have Detroit, we speak on Detroit because that's where we have the most folks involved right now, that we know we have boots on the ground, we have participation of the people. If we can take one city just to start, just one, it'll be a domino effect. It will metastasize exactly what the United States government fears most, is metastasization. Because they know once they see it's possible, who's not going to want to do this? Everyone's going to do it because they know. And Detroit is worth trillions.
So much.
You have the largest fresh water source. You have your airports. You have your refineries. You have the bridge right to Canada. You have your seaport. You know, all the ports where you can international import, export cargo. You know, it has everything that's needed that we have. So that's why it's so important that they want to keep Detroit under their control because of the assets and the infrastructure. And remember, folks, it already has all those large buildings where they used to manufacture those cars and whatnot. That's the Motor City, plus the music. That was the Music City. That's Motown. That's our heritage. That's ours. That belongs to no one else but us. And we're not even talking about the native, the indigenous population from Detroit. All those names of those towns up there and those cities, those are native names. Those are Aboriginal names. Those aren't, they didn't make them names up. Come on, people, we have to do this. So, like I said, remember, the call, 7 p.m. Eastern, in approximately 2 hours and 44 minutes. Let me see, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 2 hours and 46 minutes. 7 p.m. Eastern, 701-791-9664. That's a direct dial. Or you can, if you can't get into that one, then you try this other one. Now remember, there's going to be some resistance. Always resistance. The Alphabet Gang is always somewhere listening. The other number is also 425-436-6377. With a PIN, 201-869, also Ramzu Eunice, RamzuYunus, Facebook Live. And those are three ways you can get in. And I also believe there's going to be to a Zoom, but that I'm not sure about that. He's going to be on the Zoom. Well, I know it's going to be on Zoom, but I don't have that information whether it's actually going to be implemented. But ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daniel Gutridge, and I am 100% dedicated the rest of my existence to making this happen.
Wonderful.
And I hope you all do the same.
Brother Daniel, wonderful.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you, Brother Daniel. You and Brother Ramzu, you all are our tips of the spear. Sister Lily, she loves it. She loves you, and she has a beautiful rendition of the tips of the spear. I love for her. If we had the time to really just go into it, but next time I'm going to let her go into the way she explained those tips of the spear. We have many tips of the spear. We do have one more caller that I want to acknowledge that's on the line before we leave. I'm going to try to bring this caller in. One moment. The last four digits, 7543. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Frederick Thompson, calling from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Greetings, Frederick. Thank you for calling in. Thank you. We do have a project going on out there in Oklahoma with Sister Candida. Are you familiar with Sister Candida Chatterfield or Brother Yah?
No, ma'am. No.
Well, we have got to get your information. Is it okay if I document your information and return your call when I get off the line?
Yes, ma'am.
One moment. So, because I'm getting ready to close out, I'm going to be closing out the show because we have a big summit tonight concerning property rights. Please join us tonight. I don't know if are you in any movement out there in Oklahoma considering concerning the property rights?
I'd like to learn more about it.
Okay. So what you do is we tune in every Sunday at 3:00. We talk about property rights, international human rights law, current events as it applies to U.S. Afro descendants here in the United States. We have declared our nationhood status. We are a nation. We also are asserting our human rights to property, our cultural rights, and our biological rights. And Brother Ramzu, we're preparing for the summit that we're going to be having with Brother Ramzu tonight. I urge you to please join us. Callers, I hate to close out. I appreciate everybody that joined us, but we got to rest up. So with that being said, I love you all to the moon and back. And I hope you have a wonderful night. Bye now.
Peace. No problem. Thank you so much.
Never fine line between love and hate. See, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate. You see, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Thank you.
must admit, they planted a lot of things in the brains and the veins of my strain. Makes it hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame, from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locust. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now my voice they cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten plains dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you foster dreaded. Melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion-hearted without infanticide. It's like that red sprite you can't imagine unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes, getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel, packing steel, picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tail between your legs, throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen, just by rapping. Libertad, libertad, libertad.